Now in year number 6, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers!
Hello, everyone. Craig Wessels here from A Yank on the Footy, and welcome to episode 326. I hope you checked out my episode 325, where I sat down with Cindy from AFL from LA. Really, really fun discussion. She's doing a great job promoting the game here in the United States. I'm glad that you're listening to this episode. In just a moment, I'm going to be joined by my mate, Mick Aussie, and we're going to dive into all things round 6 of the AFL fixture. I hope you head over to my website, yankonthefooty.com, and get on the mailing list. If you enjoy the podcast, I hope you leave a 5-star review over there as well. It would be a huge help. And if you know somebody who would be a great guest, and maybe that would be you, I hope you'll reach out and send me an email to yankonthefooty@gmail.com. And today's club of the episode, they are the Tumbee Bay Blues of the Great Flinders Football League. And Tumbee Bay is on the west coast of the Spencer Gulf, north of Port Lincoln in South Australia. I looked it up myself. It's a good distance from Adelaide to the southwest of there. The club was founded back in 1906, and they won their first premiership in 1908. And throughout their history, their A and B sides have brought home a total of 35 premierships. And if I'm not mistaken, it was 21 A grade and 14 B grade, or it might be reversed. I thought it was 21 and 14. Now, Luke Parkington, who played 6 games for the Eagles back in 2017, played footy at a younger age with the Blues. Now, they opened up their 2024 fixture this year, unfortunately, with a loss to United Yelana. And their next game is coming up on the 27th of April against Ayr United at the Tumbee Bay Oval. And I want to wish the Blues the absolute best of luck. Got the blue shirt on as well. And good on you in 2024. Hope you have a great year. And let's jump into my chat with Mick Aussie. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to be joined by my mate, Mick Aussie, who is busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. Mick, how are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, doing all right, mate. First of all, congratulations to the legend, Jason Dunstall, 32nd AFL Legend Hall of Famer. I saw him live playing the grand final. What a player and one of the best analysts on TV. And also very sad to hear with the murders in Sydney. One of the ladies was Kerry Good's daughter. He played for the North Melbourne Kangaroos with Blighty, played 74 games, 150 goals, and I actually remember him. So brutal news down there in Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you about Dunstall and being elevated to legend status? Because I understand that happens, but the question that I have to ask is, I hadn't looked at the list of who the legends were who had been brought into that level at that point in time, but does it seem, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems a little strange that somebody who was as phenomenal a player as he was, who's gone on to also then have equally as successful a career in the media, had not already been elevated to legend status.
No, not really. I think they purposely do that to make it even more of an honor where people wait for many years to be elevated to legend status. I think it's an absolute fantastic thing, because sometimes Hall of Fames these days in different sports are maybe given to them a little bit easier than in the past. So yeah, this Legend Hall of Fame is great. And he truly was a phenomenal player of strength and pace and incredible goal kicking. And he's renowned for spending many times after training just practicing his art of kicking goals.
Yep. Now, one other thing in the news, and I just read a story about this as we were getting ready to come on, kind of a sad story coming out of the Eagles. One of their, the Eagles had their 1987 club, 20 members from that club were there at the Eagles win over the Tigers this past weekend. And one of their original players on the club, Peter Davidson, who played a few games with the club, passed away a couple of days ago from a long battle with cancer. So he was not able to be there. So it was, from what I was reading, it was a bit of a subdued gathering at Optus for his teammates. So I want to wish the best to his family in Valais Peter Davidson. Very sad. He's my age, so anytime somebody that's my age passes away, I'm like, well, okay, that's a bit of a reality check for, you know, an old fart like me who still, I guess, really isn't all that old.
Well, I listened to Quarters and Barrett, as you know, and Adrian Barrett was one of the original members. So he talked about it at length last week and this week, and he mentioned that Darren Bennett was one of the only ones that wouldn't be there.
Right, right.
But then during Tuesday's podcast, he did mention about the illness of Peter, but he didn't actually go into too much detail. So I did have a bit of an idea about that.
That was up on Code Sports, and I did send a note to Darren Bennett just a few minutes ago before we went on as well, passing along my condolences.
Okay.
So we've got eight games this week. It's our last eight game weekend. We've got nine starting next week. This is a really, really interesting week because it's got a lot of, you know, evenly matched games. You could argue, you know, pretty much all of them are ones that you would say, if you're going to try to balance out, you know, like a chemical equation as much as possible, I think they did that this week with the games that we've got going on.
It's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
you and I'm worried I might go 0-8, but before last Friday morning when I heard that Taranto was out from the Tigers with the wrist, I did change my pick to the Eagles. And I said on here that I might change it, but I did actually change it to the Eagles on Gabe's show and on the online betting comps I'm in.
Right.
So I went 5-3, and wow, what a tough week. But yeah, this week's looking crazy, man.
Yeah, I think I went 5-3 as well. Well, I know I did because I got the Bulldogs wrong as well then. So yeah, not a great week, but you know, we start out tomorrow morning our time with a pretty evenly matched game, but you know, two clubs that are kind of, you know, are they passing one another like two ships passing in the night with St. Kilda and the Western Bulldogs? Because I think the Bulldogs have got to be just about the biggest enigma in the AFL.
Oh man, you just don't know, do you? Like,
yeah,
they were absolutely terrible against the Bombers. What about the young Sanders? Not good. He got subbed out, which he maybe shouldn't have, but he threw his water bottle. Like, you don't be doing stuff like that as a young kid. Hugo Hagen's out for personal reasons. You know what?
Max King is out also.
Yeah, I was going to go for the Dogs, but because Libba's out, I'm going to go with the Saints, mate. But honestly, you never know. Dogs could come up and win.
Exactly. I'm going, you know, because, you know, the greatest Bond villain in history, Rory Lobb, is looking like he's going to be back in this week as well. Still no Caleb Daniel. I'm not quite convinced yet that the Bulldogs just haven't completely lost the plot. And again, I don't want to denigrate any club, but they just has the coach lost this club? Has Luke Beveridge, has he lost this club? Is there going to be a new coach, new senior coach with the Bulldogs next year?
Well, I'll say this. Someone said this today, and it's relevant here. Coaches do listen to media and are reluctant and arrogant to change. And that's a bit like Beveridge and definitely Matthew Nix. So, yeah, something's going on there. But you never know. Then they could come out and win easy. But
yeah, absolutely.
Saints are favored by 3.5. I'll pick them, but really no one knows.
Right, right. I'm going Saints with this one as well. So, you know, we're level on that one. And then we head back to your old stomping grounds, to the Adelaide Oval, for the maybe slightly less enigmatic Essendon Bombers playing your Crows. And I think this is a really interesting matchup. You know, the Crows got up off the mat last week. They scratched out a close win against Carlton. Now, you could make an argument that McGovern and Saad don't go out. Maybe the Crows don't win that game.
Yeah, well, look where they kicked. They kicked 16-4. Fantastic compared to I think Carlton was 14-14. So they were very lucky, no doubt about that. But like I just said about coaches listening to media and reluctant to change because then it proves the media are right. Well, absolutely. Nick finally got Rankin and a couple other fellas in the middle, and Rankin had like 20 clearances, or maybe not that many, but Rankin was Yeah, 20. He was in the middle for 20 bounces, where in the last 4 weeks before that, he was in the middle for 21 total. So, oh, tough one to pick. I'll pick the Crows just because they're at home. They're favored by 11 and a half.
Yeah. And that's, I know that's kind of a fortress for them, but I don't know why. I have a feeling Essendon is going to take this one. I've got them winning this one by about a goal and a half. I don't know why I'm thinking that. Maybe just to be contrary. I just think that's going to happen. And you're going to notice today that there's a bit of a trend in terms of the road team that I'm tipping quite a bit here. There's a lot of road teams that I'm tipping this week because we got some really, really good games coming up here. In fact, the next three, Carlton's got a gauntlet that they have to run here over the next 6 weeks with all these injuries. But let's go to the MCG for the Pies hosting Port Adelaide. Zach Butters is cleared to play. You know, David King was not happy about this and arguing about it, protecting the Brownlow. And, you know, this is the kind of injury that the kind of event that could cause a catastrophic injury. What's your take on that?
Oh, mate, look, the AFL's gone crazy. Like, honestly, no one knows what's going on. And, like, I might as well mention it now, but Charlie Cameron getting off because he had a character reference from Eddie Betts. I mean, what a load of bullshit that is. It's in the rules, but once it goes to tribunal, the lawyers get involved, and it's absolute disgrace. So anyway, look, Magpies favored by 7.5. You know, I'm very tempted to pick the Power, but this is totally a home field pick to me. I'll pick the Magpies to win, but I'll take the Power on the plus 7.5. And I'll take the Bombers on the plus 11.5. This is a week where it could be so many upsets. So if you take the plus points on the margin, I think you might do well.
Yeah. I'm going with Port Adelaide to win this one. Like I said, I'm doing a lot of road teams winning games this week. Not exactly sure why. You know, again, no Finlayson, and having gone back and looked at whatever comments came out on his wife's podcast, it sounds like. It had been missing what he had said, I guess, on her podcast was misinterpreted because people are really, you know, sledging on him about some comments he'd made about his previous comments. And it sounds like they're being taken out of context. And, I'm ready for him just to serve his 3 weeks and come back and let's just move on from this. And I'm sure he won't, you know, whatever that utterance was, I'm sure we will not hear it again. And let's just make the best of things and get to where we are, you know, playing footy and not worrying about anything else.
Well, you know, that's one reason why I like going on your show and Gabe's show, because I'm not in Australia and I could give a rat's ass of what the media there think of me. You're absolutely right. Finlayson, they played on the radio today. You know, there's so many media in Australia with AFL. They're all looking for that little story to exaggerate it, but that's every media. And I did hear Finlayson today, they played the snippet on his wife's podcast, like, really? Anyway, but you're dead right. He said he was pissed off he got three games. And so he should be pissed off he got three games. It doesn't mean that he's not still really sorry. You know what I mean?
Well, and from what it sounded like, is
off.
It the cut?
Of course he's pissed off. Yeah, he's pissed off. He's allowed to say that, right?
You know, it sounded like he was pissed off that he put himself in the position to get those 3 days, like, or those three games. Like, I cannot fucking believe I said that kind of thing. I can't believe I put my club in that kind of a position. That sort of thing is what it sounds like. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Classic case of the media exploding that one sentence, which is not fair, you know?
Yeah. No, that's right. I guess, to be honest, I wouldn't mind if they, you know, checked out one of my sentences on my podcast and put it on every news source, because then people might come back and tune into this then. Yeah. So we've got Carlton hosting GWS, and this is an interesting matchup because both clubs have some injuries. You know, Adam Chera is going to be out. McGovern and Sod are gone from the back six. Stephen Canelio is going to be out for a couple of weeks. Sam Taylor with that huge hit, which, you know, I, you know, is going to not, you know, knocked him out, it looked like, last week. You know, the Blues have won some very, very tight contests. And let's be honest, the GWS has been a wrecking crew for four rounds before they squeaked by the Saints. But they were thumping clubs that were not really very good at that point in time. I'm going with GWS to get across the line here, despite Taylor and Canelio being there. I just think that the loss of Saad and McGovern is going to put an awful lot of pressure on Wietering and on Zach Williams back there to just hold things together. So I'm going with GWS by about a goal and a half in this one.
Yeah, look, they said the Saints kicked the last six goals when Taylor went down. I don't know if it's all if that's totally true and Taylor was that big a difference. Blues are favored by 4.5. I'm going with the Giants just because I hope they win. Yeah, tough. Another tough one, mate. Could go either way, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's a crazy week of games because, like I said, so many of these are, you know, I don't know if you could have drawn these up to try to be any more even than they are. I mean, is this the, you know, granted, they're not all rivalry games. A couple of them are, but is this the perfect round of footy?
I think some of us might go, we could easily go 2-8, 2-6. You just don't know, right?
Exactly. But they should all be damned competitive games. I don't think there's going to be a single game this weekend. You know, and you know, I'm always conservative when we're tipping the numbers in terms of, you know, how big the point differential is going to be. I mean, I'm never, you know, I think I would, what did I say, 30 points with the Cats and the Roos last week, something like that. I never want to go much beyond that. But I would be shocked if any of these games ended up being double digit victories for any of the teams.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, this would be a phenomenal weekend to get people in North America to check out this game because they should all be competitive. And I know there's only four of them on free TV here in the U.S. this weekend. So we head up the East Coast to Brisbane with Charlie Cameron, fresh off his surviving the Tribunal Gallows, set to face off against Geelong. I'm as shocked as anybody. I'm thrilled that the Cats are 5-0. Jeremy Cameron has looked. I'm touting my own club's, you know, player here, but he has looked phenomenal this year.
Yeah,
he has. Yeah. I'm so happy, and Brandon Parfitt, I'm over the moon that young man is showing what many of us as Cat supporters have thought that he was very capable of. Now it gets interesting because Dangerfield's going to be back this weekend. It sounds like.
Whoa! Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, selection becomes interesting, and it's a good problem. You know, Hawkins will be back in. Gary Rowan played last week in the VFL, so he's going to be up for selection this week as well. So it's a good problem to have. Unlike the Tigers, who, you know, are starting to resemble the West Coast Eagles of the last couple of years with as many injuries as they happen to have. So I'm going with the Cats to win this one by 6 points. I think it's going to be extraordinarily close. I just think that even though it's in Brisbane, I think the Cats are a better side right now. And even though, again, I tip Brisbane to win the whole damn thing this year, but they've not shown me that yet. And maybe they're going to prove me wrong this week and they're going to go ahead and put a thumping on the Cats. But I just have this feeling the Cats are going to go in there and conduct business and get things done.
Well, my initial thought, I was going to go with the Cats as well. But this is what changed my mind. Two things. I think the Lions are more desperate. Cats are sitting at 5-0, sitting pretty comfortable. Lions more desperate. And true. They ran through the teams that the Cats have beat haven't been that higher quality. So that's my reason why I'm going to stick with the Lions, but I'm big on your Cats this year. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I am. And Cameron, fantastic. And let's be honest, Dangerfield was probably ready to go last week, but they're only playing the Kangaroos, so he will be firing to go. I'll stick with the Lions, but honestly, no idea. This could be an absolute ripper and a real close one.
Right. It's going to be a fun one to watch. And it's a 5:30 Saturday morning start time for me. So, I mean, I love getting up at four, like 4:30 on a Saturday morning. And no, I'm dead serious. I make my pot of coffee. I sit down there. I make a couple of I cook up like four scrambled eggs with some cheese and hot sauce and put them in a couple of wraps and sit down there and have a banana with that and, and drink a pot of coffee and hope that there's, you know, not any kind of delays during the first half, because that first bathroom trip during halftime is going to be coming whether I want it to or not. I love getting up and watching that 5:30 game. It's quiet. Oh, wow. My dogs have gone out. My dogs will come hop up on the couch with me. It's the most awesome thing to be able to do that. It really is. It really is. I mean, wow. Granted, I would love to have it be like an evening game where I could watch it before I go to bed. But this is, you know, since I'm a morning person, this is actually not so bad for me. And then we head out west for the Derby with the Eagles, who, you know, let's be honest, the Eagles looked pretty darn respectable last week. They really did.
Yeah, good on them. I was glad, eh? They needed that win. They really did. I was happy for them, you know, and let's hopefully they can springboard off that a little bit. Dockers are favored by about 35. I'll take the Eagles to get within that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd love to tip them, but I just think Dockers are so good at playing the defensive game, and they've only kicked 9 goals in the last 3 games each. 9 goals each week. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. But if Darcy comes back, and like they say, if Jackson goes forward, that will help their goal.
Right. Yeah.
The Dockers were +9 on mid clearances versus Port. So, yeah, I'll take them to win, but the Eagles to cover.
And I've got to give my mate, Waza King, who does Eagle Nation podcast, a shout out, because he ran into, I'm not sure where he was, but he ran into Harley Reid. And Harley Reid did pose in a photo with him, allowing Waza to do a fend off on him. So that was kind of cool that he let him do that in that photo. So that really, you know, cause he's a big supporter, you know, does a lot to work, you know, promoting the club. I'm going with the Dockers to win this one as well. It was great that the Eagles got that win. I do think that right at this point in time, the Dockers are still a much better side than the Eagles, but you saw some good things there. And, you know, the Eagles are a little healthier than they have been in the past. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. And I have this feeling that club is going to steal some games that people are going to, you know, look back at the end of the year and go, oh, wow, club X or club Y is not playing finals because the Eagles stole that game from them in round whatever in the teens or round in the early 20s and got a win when nobody thought they were going to get it.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah. All right. We head up to Sydney with the well-rested Sydney Swans hosting Gold Coast. Again, a very intriguing matchup here. You know, the Suns are playing some inspiring footy. You know, Dema has basically pulled the trigger on bringing in lots of youngsters and saying, here's our side, here's who we're going to be putting out there to get us going forward. And they've responded. They have played some very nice football here in the last couple of weeks since he's done that. That being said, I'm going with the Swans to win this one. I think the Swans are a stronger side right now, and especially at home, I think they're more experienced. I'm going with the Swans to win this one by about 10 points.
Yeah, look, they're favored by 21. This is probably the most confident pick I have of the week, to be honest. But that said, I think the Suns might get within 21. Chloe Hesse, one of the new ones, he's been in the best players 2 of the 3 weeks, I believe, since he's been playing.
Yep.
So good on him. Swans off a bye. Yeah, I think the Swans comfortably, but Suns might cover that. Again, that's 21 points. It's a fair spread against a good team that's going in hard.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm very impressed by what Gold Coast has done the last few weeks, and I think that these youngsters that we're seeing play for them are going to be selected the first time that Gold Coast plays finals. And that might be this year. That may still be this year. Cause again, they don't have a terribly, you know, difficult draw in the great grand scheme of things. If I'm not mistaken, they still have to play both West Coast and the Ruse twice. If I'm not mistaken, I think they have both of them. So, I mean, that's a good thing for them. And they're already sitting in the 8 at this moment in time. Let's see. They've got the Ruse twice. And they have the Eagles. They have the Eagles twice. And they still have the Tigers again yet this year as well. They play the Tigers one more time.
Wow.
So,
And it's so hard at home because the ball gets so slippery up there, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you figure if they win those, there's five games right there.
Yeah.
They're already sitting on 8 wins right now.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in 3 wins. That puts them at 8 if they were to win all 5 of those. So you figure they've got to figure out how to win 5 other games out of the rest of their fixture. They're probably playing finals this year if they're able to win those 5 games. So
yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is Dimmer's got the long-term contract and he might not go as hard to make the 8 as he would if he was in his third year. But that said, it seems like the young fellas he's put up are showing some real promise. So, yeah, I picked him to come 8, so let's hope so.
Okay, well, let me ask you a follow-up question on that then. Why, you know, if I've got my club in a position to make the move into finals, even if it's my first year there, why would I take my foot off the accelerator and slow things down and not try to? And again, I'm asking because I don't know your thought process on that. Why would they not make that push to want to get into the 8 in his first year?
No, I didn't mean that. I meant more that it's obvious he dumped some of his senior players to
put the young
kids in, and it could have backfired on him, but it looks like it's the right decision.
Okay, I see what you mean then. Okay, that makes sense because I was a little confused. That's why I asked. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
Okay, because I would have gone off thinking that just didn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me. But now that you explain it that way, it makes complete sense to me. And we get to the, I don't know if we call it the obligatory game that we have to play it because it's on the fixture, but this is again it's number 17 and 18 on the ladder, but there are some compelling storylines in this one. You got North Melbourne and no, I seriously think so. But you've got two young clubs. You've got one with a young coach who had some progress and had some success last year and is not having any this year. You've got one, you know, the other club who has got a lot of young players in, have had a lot of concessions coming from the league to help them get along. They've got a premiership winning coach. It's won multiple premierships. And they're scuffling to gain any traction as well. So it's going to, you know, it's early, but you can make an argument whoever comes out losing this game let me put it this way, who comes out not winning this game, let me phrase it that way, you got to think that there's a distinct possibility they may struggle to win a game period this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, I won't be watching unless it's really close in the last 10 minutes and I happen to be up, or I watch the highlights if it's a close game. Look, I could really care less about this game. The Hawks are favoured by 8 and I've changed my pick. I'm going for the Kangaroos because I need to pick an underdog, and I hope the Kangaroos win because I liked them more when I was a kid than the Hawks.
Okay.
But Hawks got smashed by the Suns, and your boys smashed the Roos. So
yes.
What a mess.
Yeah.
I just think maybe the kids will play a bit more for Clarkson than Mitchell because, I don't know, there's that real dislike between those two. But who cares? I'll take the Roos just because I hope so.
I'm going with the Hawks. I mean, I think I'd rather see the Roos win myself as well. I've engaged, you know, and again, I've engaged with lots of great people who are Hawks supporters, but I think I've developed some decent, you know, acquaintances with folks who are Roos supporters as well. So, I mean, I think I'd like to see the Roos win, but I just think the Hawks veterans, you know, ones who may not be on this list next year, but maybe auditioning for a spot on somebody else's list after they get delisted at Hawthorne if they completely gut the roster to bring in youngsters. So,
well, I heard this for the first time on radio a couple of weeks ago. Oh, it was Barra said this. He said the Hawks colors are brown and yellow. I'd never heard this my whole life. I laughed, and it was relevant to how bad they are now. The colors are brown and yellow of poo and piss. I've never heard that. That's hilarious.
Oh, geez. I've heard that dozens of times. I hear people talk about that all the time. And it's, you, what
no,
the heck
I've
kind
never
of shelter? What kind of a sheltered life are you leading that you've not heard that before?
I've never heard that. Honestly, I've never heard the Hawks referred to as poo and piss. But they're terrible right now, like your Cleveland Browns, me pants. Anyway, we better...
Hey, come on. My Browns were in the playoffs last year. My Browns were in the playoffs last year, so I won't stand for that.
All right.
We'll see.
It's going to be interesting how we got on the tips this week. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, we are different on 1, 2, 3, 4 of the games this week. We're the same on four. We're different on four.
Yeah, so, that'll be right.
Not bad.
I'm waiting to see what Dad picks.
Yeah.
He'll send them through later.
Okay. Are you ready for your terms for the week, your slang terms for the week? And if you're joining us for the first time, you know, Mick is a, you know, born and raised gentleman from South Australia, but has spent a lot of time in North America now, about a quarter century, about half your life now, right?
26 and a half years. Yeah,
26 and a half years in North America. So we have to give him little primers or refreshers. So when he goes back for visits, that he can sound Australian. You know, they might say, well, that's a phony accent. We don't buy that accent anymore because, you know, you don't know any of the lingo.
No kidding.
So, the first one, what does it mean to, quote, have a Captain Cook?
I have a
Captain Cook. And there's a bit of a rhyming theme on this one.
A poop, a shit.
Nope.
A poop, Captain Cook having
Captain
a poop.
Captain Cook, C O K. Yeah, the Explorer. Yeah.
Not having a poop.
No.
This is one that I should know. Like I said, as soon as I heard it, I knew it was something. Captain Cook. Oh, no, I'm going to be disappointed. I don't know this one. What is it?
Basically, to just go have a look around.
Oh, yes. You're right. Bad me. Yep, that's a smack in the head. That is me being away for so long. Yep, I knew that, and I just couldn't bring it up. You're right.
I'm gonna have to make a list of my own when I finally get to make my trip that I can. You know, if I'm going to go sightseeing, I may go tell somebody, hey, I'm going to go have a Captain Cook over there.
I think most people my age would know. I don't know about younger kids or not. I can't tell you.
All right. What does it mean? What does the phrase mean? Or how would you use the phrase two, like the number two, Bob, B-O-B, watch? A two Bob watch.
Oh, that's another one that's showing my time away. A two Bob. Is that the time?
Not quite, huh?
A two bob watch. Oh no, this is totally me needing to go home now.
Okay, it says it was used in the phrase to imply intensity or excessive speed. Like my heart was racing like a two bob watch.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. 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 I should have got. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that would be a shame. Zero and two. Wow, I need to go home.
How about this? This seems rather fitting now that those first two have gone the way they have. What does it mean to be always in the shit?
Well, a lot of guys might be in the same predicament as me lately, in the shit with your missus.
Well, in trouble
with your women.
Yes, to be in trouble or having a bad time. I was going to simply focus on the fact that you didn't know any of these phrases because I'm not privy to anything else there. But to be in trouble or having a bad time. All right, we're 1 for 3 now.
Yeah, but hang on. That saying's often used like when you're referring to your girlfriend or your wife, right?
Okay. I probably should start using that one on a regular basis myself then. All right. If you use the word ace, A-C-E, like the card, like in a deck of cards, use the word ace, what does that mean?
It's probably a Melbourne type saying, meaning cool. Oh, that's cool.
Excellent. Yep, I'll give you that one. Something that's really good. Yep. All right. You're back to 500 now. You're back
is
to 500.
Is that not a saying here as well? Is that not a saying over here?
If something is aces, that's like from the 1950s. That's like if we were with Danny Zuko and you know, singing along to the songs from the movie Grease, we would probably use aces. But All right, the last one. Let's see if we can get above 500 this week, okay, or get above level. The last one, to cheese off.
Cheese off?
Cheese, like the stuff you melt on pizza, to cheese off.
To cheese off? I've never heard of that. Okay. Never, ever heard of it. I'm trying to guess what it could be. To cheese off. Well, adding cheese to your food.
Nope.
Nah, I've never heard it, mate. Never heard that one.
To make someone angry.
Oh, there's something similar that I would have got. To cheese off. Yeah, okay. Okay, no, that's probably... Yeah, okay, all right. I'll accept defeat on that one. That's okay. Probably correct,
I need to go home.
I need to book a trip now.
Well, it sounds like, and I'm not going to delve any further, but it sounds like somebody nearby you might be saying, okay, go ahead. I'm not doing mine right now. So, you know, can they put out the 2025 fixture yet?
Yeah.
I think they could do that now. That would be great. Although
I'll probably be there next in the early round one and two type, hopefully.
Okay. Well, that'd be awesome. I wouldn't be there then, but I'd be there much later in the year, but. I'm hoping to get there. So, hey, Mick, before we go, sir, where can people find what you do and where you do it? And if they haven't checked out you absolutely throwing NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman under the bus the other day on Gabe's show, they definitely need to do that. But tell us where we can find your work, fine, sir.
Oh, mate, he is a disgrace. He hates Canada. He's an absolute flog. I have no idea how he keeps his job. And the people that defend him will say, oh, yeah, but he's growing the NHL. Bullshit. Every sport grows just through population and reach with streaming and everything. I can't stand that guy. So, yeah, and mickozzie.tv and under the more sports section, you can see that little video with a link to on Gabe's big AFL section under mickozzie.tv, Sports Grid TV again Friday nights 8:40 Mountain. This week might be a bit different because I'm at the Edmonton District Cricket League presentation night, so I'll be there and meeting the people I met last year through the cricket show. So looking forward to that. Cricket TV, we're doing that again this year. So Friday night should be a lot of fun, and I'll definitely be the outcast because there'll be like 95% East Indians and either born there or born here. Mm-hmm. I might be the only white guy. Seriously, it's gonna be awesome.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
It's gonna be good, man. Yeah.
The one thing that you've got going for you is everybody there loves cricket.
Well, the thing I got going for me is they all know I'm very good friends with Travis Head's dad. I was in his wedding, as I said, and Travis Head made 102 off 41 balls this week for the Sunrisers. He, of course, pissed all the East Indians off because he made 140-ish in the World Cup final. So they hate him, but they love him, right?
At least the Sunrisers fans do. Yeah, they're like, they all respect him. Hey? Don't we hit this guy? But he got a century for us. Yay!
Mate, they absolutely were devastated that Australia won that World Cup final because India went in red-hot favourites. Mm-hmm. But they absolutely respect Travis Head as one of the absolute stars of the world now.
Yeah, I watched like the first 10 matches of the IPL so far. I watched like the 40-minute highlight video on Willow TV for each of the games. Wow. So I get a good chunk of the action. So I'm progressing through those. I don't necessarily get to watch those live, but it's, and again, I'm not seeing any kind of, you know, information in terms of who won or who didn't win those games anywhere. Yeah. So it's all fresh to me. I don't get anything spoiled when I watch it.
Yeah.
So, yep. Well, hey, Mick, I hope you have a fantastic week. I hope that that your schedule frees up for you a little bit and things become a little less hectic for you. I'm going to be as cryptic as I can there, but it is always great talking to you, and it's a lot of fun. This is going to be a phenomenal week of footy, and if you're just checking out this podcast and you've never watched a game of footy before, you've got one heck of a weekend, because every game this weekend is very closely evenly matched. So you pick one of the four that are on free TV here in the US, you're going to probably enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah. And all right, so, gotta go. Great talking,
Mick,
mate.
Great. Have a great evening there, sir. Cheers.
All right. See you later.
Yepper. All right, Mick. Hey, Mick, thanks so much for jumping on and chatting about this week's games. It's going to be a heck of a weekend. We've got some great matchups, some intriguing matchups, even for some of what people might call the lesser games. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. And there's round six for us, folks. And this is the last bye week of these opening rounds with a couple of clubs off this week. And we'll be back to 9 games in the league next year, or next week, I should say. Now, check out my show notes, folks, for links to the club of the episode. And if you need to talk to somebody, please reach out to them. Check up on your friends. Make sure they're okay. If you need to talk to somebody, please give them a call. Those numbers are in every episode show notes. Remember, you can find everything related to my podcast over at my website, ayankonthefooty.com. I do hope you'll check it out. I do have several blog posts up over there as well. You can get on the mailing list there. You can leave a review if you want to help out the podcast, which I certainly would appreciate it. You can click on that Buy Me a Coffee button or look at my store page, which is linked to Redbubble there, and check out some of the stickers that I have there as well. If you want to drop me a note, you can. And if you think you'd be a great guest, I'd love to hear from you. Links to all my socials, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and I spend a lot of time on Twitter at @yank_on. Are there as well. And remember, you can reach me at ayankonthefooty@gmail.com. I appreciate the kind words, everybody. And thanks so very much. And until next time, may your dribble kick never hit the post. I will catch you later. And this has been episode 326 of A Yank on the Footy. Thanks for listening. I do hope you'll share the podcast with your friends and family. And until next time, goodbye, everybody.